So it's 2020, but as I start, I want to talk about 2002. And about this time, 18 years ago, as I prepared to go to South Africa for a 15 and 18 day church and mission trip, three of us planned to lead a youth camp for Chinese students who were growing up in South Africa. They're very much bicultural. A lot of them immigrated to South Africa from China, and they didn't really have much in terms of ministry or conferences and that kind of thing. So we were there going to the middle of this beautiful country in the southern tip of Africa, this little town called Bloemfontein. So I would love to have gone to Johannesburg, which we did for a day, or Cape Town, but we were in the middle. It's like going to California for the first time and going to Merced or Fresno. Nothing wrong with those places, but you miss the Golden Gate, you might miss spaghetti and all these other things. So we were down there, and we were able to do this youth camp. And I remember being really excited about three things of going to South Africa. The first was going to the Southern Hemisphere for the first time. I'd never been to the Southern Hemisphere. As a geographer, that was very exciting to me. The second thing was seeing wildlife. I was told that they were going to bring us to see lions, in a preserve. I said, that's not a good goal. And I got a little scared too, but that's okay. And we did. We were able to see lions. And I look forward to seeing the toilet swirl the other direction, which it did. And then I learned later that's actually not really a thing. It's really just one direction of jets in the toilet. But the first time I saw it, I was really excited. So, a lot of curiosity. So I was really excited, but I was also very anxious. And, Lydia remembers the time I actually really lost my temper right before this trip. I don't know if you remember, but it was right before this trip that I infamously punched the microwave. Because I was so stressed about the talks and this kind of thing. And so, I won, of course, the microwave lost. It was just a lot of anxiety and a lot of tension that I was feeling about this trip. And I wasn't looking forward to literally going to the other side of the world. 26 hours, three flights, we went across North America, then we went across Atlantic to London, then we went across Africa and Europe to Johannesburg. So it was a long, I did four flights and another little flight to Bloemfontein. I wasn't looking forward to that, and it was right after 9/11. So Lori didn't want me to travel. She was worried about me getting on planes. And then I was going to be, like I said, around the other side of the world. First, when I landed, Lori called and said that Lydia got a spider bite, and her hand was like the size of a softball. And I'm like, well, I don't know how I'm going to get back and help out, because I am like so many thousand miles away. So it turned out pretty well. We were able to do this camp. One of my colleagues hurt himself the morning of the camp, playing frisbee, ran into a wall. So he was hobbling about. That was interesting. Got to see lots of toilet swirls. I got to see lions. And I got to see a country undergoing a radical transformation just 6-8 years after apartheid ended, and going through reconciliation and trying to seek peace in the midst of all the trauma and the pain they have been through. So 2020 feels a lot like 2002 for me. There's a lot of anticipation I have about this year, and I have some anxiety as well about the coming year, 2020. I won't be journeying to the other side of the world, but I'm gonna start the longest break that I've had in 25 years from school or ministry or anything. I haven't had a break longer than, I think, 2 months of preaching since 1996. So as I will start a break coming in February, I will probably break that record for myself. So as the year starts for you, I want to ask you, what are you excited about? And what are you anxious about? What are you looking forward to? What are you feeling anxious about? I was going to have you share with a neighbor, but I think I'll just let you think about it for a second. and you can share with your neighbor later, maybe over lunch. But just for you, as you think about the year, what are you looking forward to? What are you feeling anxious about? So as I mentioned, my upcoming leave is something that I am very excited about, I'm also very anxious about. And I want to give you a bit of an update about this leave. I have a few slides, and really haven't been able to do this since I announced this, I think in October. And since it's only a few weeks away, I thought I would give a chance to let you know where we are, where we stand with things. Okay, so if you don't know, I'm gonna take a personal leave. This is my 7th year here. It's amazing to me that we've been here for 7 years. We drove up at the end of 2013, right around Christmas time. And it'll be from February 1st to May 31st, so 4 months. The purpose, renewal, rest, visioning, and seeking God. I'm gonna talk a little bit more about this in a moment. I requested this break. We reached a lot of milestones this last year, including 20 years of full-time pastoral ministry. So I graduated in June of 1999 with my master's degree. And then when it hit 2019, around that time, I thought, wow, it's been 20 years. I've been in 3 churches about 14, 15 years since the last time I had a sabbatical. We spent 2 months in Vancouver, British Columbia. I took some classes at Regent College up there. This is a piece that I want to update you about. The ministry oversight, while I'm gone, will be by the Council of Elders, ultimately. So that's Dennis, it's Patrick, Elder Patrick, and Elder Frank, and our pastors, Pastor Ronnie and Pastor Helen, myself. There are 6 elders, and I will be the one that will be stepping off a little bit, so you can go to the other 5. And there'll be an ad hoc English sermon team, right? So it looks like English Standard Time, but, or Easter, sorry, Eastern Standard Time, but it means English sermon team. And your English sermon team members are Stephanie, who I believe is probably cooking right now. Vince is in the back, I saw him earlier, so you guys all know Vince, one of our worship leaders, and Rob, who I think is traveling. So 2 of them are gone, they're skating good. You know, they're getting ready to kind of help and support you. And that's really their goal. I call them a response team. If something comes up, then they'll help respond to that, right? If there's something you would normally bring to me, then you could bring it to them, and they'll help consult with the elders or find out, you know, what to do. Okay? So just remember those 3 names and those elders, and those are the people that you want to go to if you have any questions. All right, so I want to talk a little bit about the purpose. And back in 2018, in October, the Budget and Personnel Committee had brought a proposal to the board, or to the Executive Council, for a sabbatical policy. Because this is a very kind of typical thing you see in education, especially in higher education, as well as in ministry, pastorate, missions, support, that there are sabbaticals. And so this was not approved. I want to put bold letters as draft, but the reasoning behind it, I think, is something I wanted to share with you. And the details and all the logistics of it weren't really fleshed out and agreed upon at this point, but this was the kind of spirit of it. So the concept of sabbatical is rooted in the biblical concept of Sabbath, which God modeled Genesis 2, 1 through 4, and commanded in Exodus 20. 8 through 11. The sabbatical year practiced by the Hebrew people was the final year in a cycle of 7 years, Leviticus 25. It was also a time when the Hebrew people had the opportunity to renew their trust in God as the provider of all their needs, even during the time when they did not labor. So that said, this 7-day cycle, right? The 7th day you rest. How many of you actually rest on the 7th day, or on a day of the week? How many of you are tempted to work all the time? Sabbath is really hard for me. I want to always do something. I want to keep reaching my goals and pursuing whatever it is that God has for me. So sometimes I feel like, wow, I work 7 days a week. I don't work 8-10 hours every day, but I do something every day. This is not the way God designed us. God built into us these cycles. So this is what Sabbath kind of comes from. The intent of the sabbatical is to further the ministry objectives of the church. And so this is something to benefit the church. To enhance the personal ministry of a staff member, and to provide for physical, spiritual, and relational renewal and refreshment. So this is a draft. I think the thinking behind this is something that the budget personnel, and particularly Auntie Cynthia, looked at a lot of different churches, a lot of different policies, and have pulled this together. So I really appreciate the hard work that she put in. Again, this is not what I'm doing in terms of official church policy, but this is something that the church was considering. So I just wanted to give you a little more background, because that was something when I announced last time that I wish I had done. A few people talked to me and says, hey, you need to explain this a little more, and what is this? Now, since when I announced this leave in October, I've had quite a few people talk to me, and there were different questions and so forth. And so I wanted to answer a few of those, kind of gathering them up. And so you better understand what it is that's happening. And I figure if one person has a question, then usually others have the same question. That's just kind of my assumption. So the first question is, why take a break now? And I mentioned some of those milestones, like hitting 20 years of ministry, having an empty nest. And it really started when I was at UC Riverside with Aliva back in April. And we were doing a college visit right before she had to decide on May 1st. And so she went off with the students at orientation, and I went for a prayer walk around the campus. And I was praying for Riverside, I was praying for Lena, I was praying for Davis too. It was really interesting. So I was on the UCR campus, I was praying for you and our students here, just being on a college campus. And it really hit me that Alita seemed to really love Riverside, which was a surprise to me, because it wasn't her first choice, right? And that she probably was going to end up going to UC Riverside. And something clicked in me, it says, the youngest is out. We've got her, we're getting her settled in, and I took a deep breath. I said, I didn't break. And God put it on my heart too. He said, you've been going for a long time through the kids' hospitalizations. And, you know, I look back, I probably should have taken family leave or personal leave. I kept working through those times, and I think it just started wearing me down, my own health. Just the burden of the ministry week to week and day to day and all that. And so I started to pray. I approached a couple of brothers in leadership. Around that time, I approached the elders and we decided that this was a way to go. You know, the sabbatical policy wasn't ready, which is fine, but that I need to break. And so we started to look into it at that point. So that's kind of why now. Right? And it's a seventh year and so forth. But ultimately, I really feel like God was saying, you need to break the break. What will you be doing on your leave? This is a big question a lot of people have been asking me. And, you know, I have a spiritual answer, which is I'm going to be reading through the Bible, which I started early. Like, a lot of things I want to do, I've already started, right? I'm reading through the Bible. I'm memorizing scripture. I want to take some prayer retreats. And I want to spend time with Lori. I want to pray with her, vision with her, and so forth. So that rest and renewal piece is really important for me. I'm going to go on some trips. I'm going to come back and see you guys a little bit, too. If we have anyone be baptized at Easter, I'm going to come back. There are a couple of speakers who are coming that I want to see, been able to bring in during my break. So I'm going to be in town, so I might see you at Costco, which is where I see a lot of you, or somewhere at a coffee shop or so forth. And I'm also going to be working with some couples and individuals, doing some kind of couples counseling, whether it's pre-engagement, engagement, and so forth, or people who are in counseling. And I told the elders that I don't want to just not meet with them for 4 months. So I'm going to be doing some of that. But the main point of this leave is for rest and refreshment. And for us to come to Jesus, right? Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. That's really the heart of it. Okay, so what about the ministry here at church? What's going to happen? When I first made this proposal to the elders, I produced a bulleted, like 4 or 5 page list of all the things that I've been doing and what needs coverage and who's meeting what and so forth. So that was the first consideration, is that we make sure things are okay here. And so we did that, and then we called this English servant team. which I mentioned those names, Stephanie, Vince, and Rob. And we talked to the elders, and we created a support structure for you guys. Then I started working on the pulpit. Right now, it's 18 weeks. I'll be on 18 Sundays, so there's speakers for all 18 of those weeks. And started looking for Sunday school coverage and so forth. So things are going to be covered, and you're going to have that English service team. Will you be okay financially? A lot of people ask me this, and the short answer is yes. Okay, God will provide for us. The church is providing our health insurance. So praise God for that. I'm really grateful for that. That's such a big piece for me, right, with our family's health. And so we will be fine. And then I call this last question the crystal ball question. So a lot of the questions people ask me are, what's going to happen in the future? It's coming in a lot of different forms, but some of the questions are like, will the leave be enough? So I've asked that multiple times. And part of me said, enough for what? You know, because I'm not sure exactly. So I fleshed it out. I think different people had different concerns with that question. Will the leave be enough? Will it be enough of a break? Right? Will you still be able to come back and, you know, be strong enough to continue the ministry and so forth? Those kinds of questions. So I call that a crystal ball question. And then what if you're still tired? What if things don't change? What will happen without a pastor at the church or without me at the church? You still have two other pastors. Will you come back? So these are all crystal ball questions. And I said, I don't have a crystal ball. I wish I did. And there was a point where I was getting a little exasperated by these questions. I'm like, I don't know. I want to have all the answers for you, right? I'm the guy that, I want to make sure that everyone's okay and that you're okay and we're okay and we're all going to be okay. I said, I don't know, right? So thank you for the questions. Thank you for the feedback. But I think we stand at this place, and the fact is we don't know. Not just about this is a small thing in God's eyes, but all the things in our world, in our life, and all these things, I understand that we might have some questions about the future, and some anxiety even about the question, about the future. And so as I contemplated these questions, and I thought about them for myself as well, because I figured if you're asking these questions, and these are legitimate, important concerns, and things that I need to think about, that I would keep in mind as the leave kind of progresses and so forth. But there's so much that more that I want to know too, in terms of how this is going to turn out. I've never done such a long break before. It's been, you know, since I was in college, since I had a break this long. So I think that you can pray for me, and we will all pray together. And ultimately, the message that God put on my heart as I wanted to share about this leave is to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. And so originally I had this Colossians 3:15 verse, which is where this comes from. And then as I developed the sermon during the week, yeah, some other things were kind of on my heart. And so I'm not going to use that verse as central, but I think the sentiment is important to keep in mind. Right? That the peace of Christ ruling, it's like an arbiter or an umpire making a ruling. Right? Niners fans out there, right? You have to abide by whatever the ref says, even if the review says otherwise, right? You just have to follow it. And that's what he's saying, you've got to follow the peace of Christ. That in the end, the peace of Christ is the arbiter among us, right? Among us and all the conflicts and differences and things that we will face in life and ministry and the church and so forth. Okay, so that's Colossians 3:15. But what I'm going to do is take us to the upper room where Jesus had his last supper. And so we're going to partake of communion in a moment. And remember that in the upper room, right, so literally when Jesus tells his disciples to go find a place to have a Passover, they found the upper room in the house. And this is why it's called the Upper Room Discourse. It's John 13 through 17. And it's this amazing body of teaching that Jesus gives right before he is arrested, he is crucified, you know, this whole end of the Passion, like Thursday night. And the first thing he does, he shows them his love to the end. And what did he do? He washed the disciples' feet. Like, that was his act of love, of sacrifice and servanthood. And throughout this time, he's telling them, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to send the Comforter, the Advocate. And there are two times in this passage where he talks about peace. The first one is in John 14. And you remember the beginning of this passage, of this chapter, he talks about he's going to go and prepare a place for the disciples. And then Thomas says, you know, how do we know where you're going? How can we follow you? And Jesus says, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he continues this teaching, and he says, peace I leave with you. Let's read this together. Peace I leave with you. My peace I leave with you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. But there's that command again. Do not be afraid. I wish God knew how it worked, because the more he tells me not to be afraid, it feels like the more I'm afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. But there's something deeper going on here. That when Jesus is leaving and they're feeling anxious and they're feeling in trouble, he says, it's okay. Don't worry about it. You're going to have my peace. It comes from me. And John 16:33 tells us that you're going to have trouble in this world. Let's read this together. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. This is one of the last things he says to them before he starts to pray for them, right? In 17. So you have this comfort and this promise of Jesus saying that I'm going to give you my peace. I'm going to give you the Comforter. And you're going to be okay. And he's not sugarcoating it for them, right, brothers and sisters? He's telling them, and we know this because we've lived it, that there's still going to be trouble, that there's going to be anxiety, that there's going to be losses, even. But he says, I have overcome the world. Do we understand the victory that we have in Christ already? Because he overcame on the cross. That what we celebrate, what we remember of Jesus at the table, the bread and the cup, is because he was able to overcome. We are overcomers, brothers and sisters. And when we feel weak, and when we feel beaten down, and when we feel troubled or anxious about 2020, anything that's going to happen in the church, in your career, in your schooling, for those of you who are graduating this year, or graduated recently, and for those of you still in school, for those of you going to Asia for missions, for those of you who are facing uncertainties in your health, in your family, in your relationships, what does Jesus say? Peace I leave with you. It's my peace. It comes from me. And I can say this because I have overcome. Amen?
Amen.
That's such a good promise that we can take into 2020. So how do we get this peace? How do we live in this peace? Because I want it. Do you want it? Yeah, I want it. I want this promise. I want to live in this because I know there's trouble. I know it's hard. And I want to talk about peace as spiritual fruit. Paul talks to the Galatians, and if you know anything about this church, it's this church of strife. There's all kinds of conflict, and he even said that they were devouring each other. He used this image of wild beasts or animals or wolves, even, that they were fighting. If you think of two wild animals going at it, you get a picture of what Paul was saying the church was like. He says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. Right? The flesh is the self. The flesh is my pride. The flesh is what I want, my desires. Right? The flesh is destructive. It's what needs to be transformed, but we still carry this body of flesh with us until the end. And he says, you need to walk by the Spirit. And when you do that, there is fruit. And I really pray that 2020, that we experience this fruitfulness. And we can't just grab it. We can't just get it whatever way that we think we're going to get it. It comes from God. It's something that he gives us. It's the fruit of our relationship with him. Love and joy and peace and forbearance and patience and kindness and goodness. You can't will yourself to do any of these. Have you ever wanted to be more patient? When you're in this situation, you say, I need to be patient, God. Does it help? Sometimes that's when I really need. When I tell myself, be patient. You can't will yourself to be kind. It comes from God. So I really pray that 2020 for myself, and this is what I really want to do during this year, that 2020 is a year of spiritual fruit for us, individually and as a church. And how does that happen? This fruit comes from our walk with God. One year when I was in LA, our theme was back to basics. And I said, oh, I don't want to go back to basics. I want to go deep, right? I want to go far. I don't want to go back. But back to basics was prayer. Coming back to prayer, coming back to the Word of God. What we call basics actually are the means by which the people of God from centuries, millennia, have drawn close to God and walking with him. And we were acknowledging that we had walked away from those, that we weren't practicing those. And not just in a superficial way, like, oh, how can I pray for you? Oh, I want to pray more. But we deeply felt that we were missing something. No matter how hard we worked, no matter what we did in our world, no matter how much we achieved, that we were missing something. And so we're coming back to basics. And I think that's a call for us today, too. That basics are not necessarily something to take for granted and overlook, but basics are foundational. And for me, I'm coming back to foundations. You know, after all these years, I'm a pastor, and I've been preaching for how many years, and I've been doing all these things, and it sounds really great, and I can just rest on my laurels. And God said, no, you need to come back to the things you used to do. That's why I started Bible memorization again. And I've shared some of that with you. That's why I've come back to certain practices of prayer that I used to do, but I stopped doing it. I came back to listening to scriptures on, you know, being read online instead of watching a show, right, when I put on my medicine and my lotions. I come back to praying before I meet someone, before I start my preparations in my sermon. I've come back to walking. Right? I love to run, but God says, you need to walk. And as I walk, then I pray. And I consider the things God has for me. What does it mean for you in 2020 to walk with the Spirit? No matter what your title might be in church, no matter what you're doing in this world, no matter how young or old you are, we all have this basic relationship with God through Jesus. And what does it mean to nurture that for you this year? Maybe it's just coming to worship service consistently. Maybe it's coming back to Bible memorization. If you want a list of verses, I'll show you one. My own model paragraphs, but you can, we can work with them. If you want to read spiritual books, I have a list of books. People love to give me books, and I haven't read them, sadly. And I feel bad because people gave me a book, and I want to honor their gift. So I'm going to read. And I haven't done a lot of reading. My reading is bullet points in Apple News. That's not reading. And to drink deeply of the Spirit. To drink deeply of God. And then the Spirit comes. And somehow, you start experiencing peace, even in the midst of a storm. Somehow, you start experiencing joy, even when things around you aren't just quite the way that you wanted them to be. Somehow, you start to accept the things that you weren't able to accept before. Not because they're good, but because you trust God. So what are those ways you can draw close to God in 2020? So I want to just sit with that as we have the worship team come up. And they're going to sing Christ Alone. Because in the end, everything that we want and the peace that we so long desire in this world, even with God, it comes from Christ. And only in Him. So they will go into our communion afterwards.